Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Marceline Norton. Marceline owns Quail Run Farm, which is located in the beautiful Hoopa Valley. So we're out here at her farm right now. Marceline, you haven't always been a farmer. You've done other things up here in Hoopa. What other things have you done?
Yes. I was the education director for 30 plus years for the tribe, raising a family too. I didn't have much time for anything else.
Sure.
And then toward the latter part, before I retired, I started a little kitchen garden that was probably back in 2006, 2007. Then it just started growing from there.
You're also involved in preserving your culture. What's your tribal affiliation?
Mm-hmm. I'm Hoopa, but I also have Karuk and Yurok blood. I was born and raised here. And my grandfather, Francis Colgrove, was one of the original dance leaders, ceremonial dance leaders. So I kind of grew up in the camps from babyhood on.
I know you're involved in the dance ceremonies. You would cook for the dance ceremony.
Especially in our camp, which is the Colgrove camp from the Medilden village. My mother always, and the sisters always cook. But then later years, I would just donate food or bring in pies. I remember one year my mom and I baked 20 some odd pies for all the camps.
What kind of pies?
Apple, berry, mainly fruit pies. Mm-hmm. As I look back, I wonder how in the world did, you know, we do this? But she was such a fast worker, and I can't keep up with how what she did.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody in the family kind of teach you those things when you're young. Eventually learn those skills so that you can do them yourself, too. Mm-hmm. Besides pies, what other sorts of things did you prepare for the dance ceremonies?
Early years, it was basic foods, fish, deer meat, and whatever staples, vegetables. More recently, with my garden, then I've contributed squashes or cooked some things and taken it over to the camp. Melons.
Your melons tomatoes. Are delicious.
Tomatoes.
Your tomatoes
whatever.
Are delicious.
Yes. Just recently, the Yurok Deerskin Dance, which was held in the Witchbeck area, I contributed some melons and vegetables.
How do you encourage younger people to become involved in those sorts of things?
I see a lot of involvement from a lot of young people, which is great. You know, it comes kind of through the families, but just also wanting to be part of the dance. I think it starts with childhood, kind of being involved as a young child involved in the dances. But also more recently, those that haven't been, you know, I see coming in and they're certainly welcome and encouraged to participate.
People come together to cook for the dances and other ceremonies. Is it done as a group that you prepare the meals together?
Yeah. Within each camp, there's a head cook or the family cook, you know, but people come and help prepare, help serve, or just bring food in.
Uh-huh. Sounds like there's something for everybody to do.
Yeah, and everybody is, then, you know, all visitors, everyone is fed. First, the dancers are fed. Then people are then welcome to sit and eat. Yes. And it's delicious food.
So you always have had a garden growing up. Were there people that gardened in your family?
My mother gardened, I mean, as long as I could remember, because she, as a little girl, I would help her. She would tell me how to place the corn in the holes that she dug, or, you know, the beans or whatever. You know, she always gardened, and I was there helping her, and I loved to garden. I mean, it's so, to me, it's relaxing, even though it's hard physical work. But it's so therapeutic, too, just to be working in the soil and then seeing things produce. And I'm amazed as I see peppers or whatever coming on and get excited about the production.
I do, too. I think it's magic every time it happens. Did your mom and your other family preserve food?
Yeah, she always canned, you know, whatever she grew, she canned. And along with fish, deer meat, whatever was available. I remember going with her just throughout the valley, and if she saw fruit trees along the road or whatever and fruit just going to waste, she would be picking that up and doing something with it. I
mean, woman after my own heart there.
And I also remember there was a grocery store, but not open, you know, all the time. And if she had company, the unexpected company come in, it wouldn't be nothing for her to put together a meal with her canned foods. Uh-huh. In just no time, she would have a dinner ready.
Did she teach you to can?
Yes.
So you enjoy cooking. What are some of your earlier memories about learning to cook?
Well, preserving salmon, because we always had lots of salmon, and drying it, canning it, you know, so that we would have salmon throughout the winter months. Same with deer meat, along with whatever vegetables that we canned.
When you got the salmon, sometimes you'd get several salmon at the same time. How did you deal with so much volume of fish at one time?
It's amazing, but my mom was so fast at cleaning, at cutting the salmon up, at stripping the salmon, and she was just, it takes me forever to do something like that compared to how I saw her work. Uh-huh. But yeah, there were times when my dad, we fished, and there would be 50, 60 salmon on the river bar that had to be taken care of. And some she would can fresh, so we would have both kippered salmon and fresh salmon canned.
Tell me how you kipper salmon.
What I do is strip it in small strips and hang it in a smokehouse and let it smoke for maybe a day, day and a half, depending on how dry a person wants it. I usually like mine moist, so I keep watching, and then I'll take it down and cut it up and put it in jars to can. It's a long process in dealing with that. The other thing is that we dry salmon, jerk it, so it stays for weeks.
Uh-huh. When you jerk it, then how do you store it?
Sometimes I've put it in vacuum-sealed bags, but I think in the old days, they had a way of just preserving it in, I'm not sure whether it was grape leaves or something that, you know, where the bugs wouldn't get to it, and so that they were able to eat that throughout the winter.
Okay. Well, this is great. We want to come back next week and actually talk to you more about your farm and farming and how you got started doing that. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Marceline Norton. Marceline owns Quail Run Farm, which is located in the Hoopa Valley. Thank you so much, Marceline.
Thank you for coming, and I've enjoyed talking with you and sharing the information.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.